Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, August 15th, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Today's show will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, How to Be a Proactive Parent and Produce Positive Results, with my guest, author Jeff Otto. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. Whether you're listening live on the phone or in the website, or maybe you're over there in the chat room listening to the show from our archives sometimes, I'm so honored. Whatever way you're accessing the show, I'm honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell others who can benefit. Thanks to modern technology, it's very easy to do that. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, right under my photo, you will see several ways to keep up with the show. If you click the follow button, you will get an announcement and a reminder in your email each week of which episode we'll be doing and the time. Now, if you've always wanted to write a book but hesitated because you didn't know how to get started, you may be one of those people who've been putting off your book for maybe months, some people actually for years. If that sounds like you, I want to invite you to get your copy of the Home Study Workshop, How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, Even If You're an Ordinary Person and Hated High School English. I will show you in this workshop how to go from choosing your title to getting your book written quickly and marketed effectively. Most important, in this workshop, I'm going to tell you how to start earning money from your book before it's even finished. Everybody likes that part. Download your copy of the Home Study Workshop at my website, www.abookin90days.com. As soon as your order is processed, you'll be able to immediately download the course and get started writing your book. On this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, and career, all of which contribute to lasting happiness. Today's episode is How to Be a Proactive Parent and Produce Positive Results with my guest, Jeff Otto. Jeff is a devoted husband, father of three, and a successful entrepreneur who works with the family business with his parents and brothers. Jeff's dedication to empowering and inspiring others is the essence of both the way in which he runs his multi-million dollar business as well as what he effectively conveys in his newly released book, The 10 Kidmandments. Jeff and his wife have created their own deliberate ways of inspiring and positively affecting their children. In his book, he takes the reader on a journey of discovery while providing practical ways to implement the advice. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Jeff Otto. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Flora. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for joining me, and thank all of you in the chat room and on the phone lines. If you have questions or comments, just go ahead and type your questions in the chat bar there, or if you're on the phone, you just need to press star one. Okay, I want to start at the beginning, and most authors, Jeff, have something that was the impetus, something that led them to write their books. So could you share with us what led you to write The 10 Kidmandments and what readership you had in mind when you wrote it?
Yeah, sure. I've always been a competitive person, and I knew that when my wife and I started having kids that I wanted to be very, very good at having children. And so I thought that I was going to be this perfect father with perfect children, and they were all going to come out just perfect. And as you and I know, that is not the way they come delivered at all. They come with their own personalities and their own styles, and it really made me realize that it's not as easy as just wanting and hoping to be a good father and or mother. You have to really proactively work at it and think of the responsibilities and go after it. And that's really what it was I had was sitting down at a seminar, and I heard a speaker, and he was talking about how he turned his company around. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that is absolutely perfect. That's the kind of skills that I need in order to be a father. And I started taking notes from that day on my BlackBerry, and I wrote most of my book on a BlackBerry over many, many years just listening to other people.
Wow. And so when you wrote your book, you had in mind, of course, other parents who had concerns like you did about the best ways to raise the children. And, of course, you were having real-life experiences along the way, I take it.
Yes, for sure.
And I know that you have 10 of the Kid Mandments. Is there one upon which you personally put the most emphasis?
Well, I did say that that faith, religion, and spirituality is the cornerstone of any successful, and I, in quotation marks, I define success in the book, but I do say that faith, religion, and spirituality is the cornerstone of being a successful or raising a successful child or being a successful person. And there's a lot of different reasons for that, but certainly I felt like having some something bigger than ourselves to fall back on was and is the most important of the 10 commandments.
I agree with you. What's one tip you give in that particular section that parents can do to help their children have this foundation?
Well, I'd probably say is awareness is the number one thing. That the internet has changed everything. And I don't think that people realize that the way that we were taught in our generation, how taught about faith, religion, and spirituality is not necessarily how our children are learning about it. And way back when, up until maybe 100 years ago, very few people ever got a chance to read the actual Bible. They heard about it from friends and family, but they never really got to read and explore themselves. And today, with so many outside influences on the internet, we can't continue to just give our children our faith, our religion. We have to really be able to teach them and educate them and explain to them what the differences are, guide them to the religion or faith that we find is appropriate for us and our family. But it is an awareness that the internet really has changed the game, and we have to change as parents in order to have better results.
I love the fact that you point out that with the internet and all the other things that our kids are exposed to, it is important for us to, as parents, to make our kids aware of the differences and to acknowledge the others and not just think that we're going to pass on our little prepackaged faith that we probably got from our parents and grandparents, that we really do have to discuss a broader concept with our children, because they're going to hear it, they're going to see it, they're going to talk about it with their friends. So I think you're very, very wise. And when you mentioned reading the Bible, it reminds me of I was attending a Bible retreat, and as someone was reading the scripture and the rest of us were following along, there were so many versions of the Bible in that room that, you know, it was kind of interesting to try to keep up with, okay, where exactly are they? Because the wording is different if you're reading the King James Version versus the New Revised Versions, all the various ones. So it's interesting how, in the effort to make the Bible even easier for people to understand, we've come up with different versions. And it's very apparent.
Not only do we have different versions of the Bibles, we have 32,000 different denominations in Catholicism alone.
Ooh.
So if you want to talk about confusing, how is a child supposed to know? And in the old days, we didn't used to have 32,000 denominations. You were told we're Catholic or we are Muslim or we are Jews, whatever your religion
mm-hmm.
is, this is what it
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it was. But today, mm-hmm. it has changed. So if we don't educate our children and we don't talk about it, then I think we're going to have disastrous results.
And I agree. And it sounds like, first of all, as parents, we have to educate ourselves, because if we're not aware of these things, it's going to be a little more difficult to share and discuss these with our children. So that's important. It sounds like a parent who's going to be proactive then needs to have be broad-minded and needs to be open to the variety of things that are out there. I have your list of 10 commandments in front of me, so I want to talk about how this faith, religion, and spirituality, how that ties into money and materialism, because I suppose that that's going to be a discussion that parents and children are going to have a lot of.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the way that it ties in is it's still the big picture of raising successful children. And one of the things that is an indication of a successful child is their ability to sustain life on their own, so that they aren't either having an entitlement mentality, whether it's
mm-hmm.
the parents or the government that they are relying on, but they are self-reliant upon themselves and they have
mm-hmm.
a work ethic. And they go out there and produce for themselves. And that's just part of being a successful parent. You can't give your children everything for 18 years, spoil them rotten, never make them work for anything, and then all of a sudden go out there and expect them to understand that everything isn't as easy as it was when I was living at home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's incumbent upon the parents to make children work for an income. Don't give them everything. Don't give them a salary. Make them do chores around the house. Teach them the connection between work and money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can promise you, if I buy my daughters a bunch of stuff or new bathing suits, they're going to end up on the floor. If they go out and buy a new bathing suit with their own money, that wet bathing suit is not going to be thrown on the floor. It's going to be picked up and put away. And that's the power of the connection.
That's right. And I'm laughing because as you were saying that, I was remembering things that happened with my children, especially things that they wanted and I wouldn't buy. And I told them, you know what, when you save your money, you could buy that for yourself. And, of course, by the time they got their money, they didn't always want to spend it that way, because just the same
yeah.
thing you're saying. It took on a different meaning and value because they realized, oh, my gosh, it took me all these months to save. I don't think I want to spend all of that on this one pair of designer jeans.
That's right.
So,
and if
yeah,
they do, then there's so much. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that you're right. They're so much more appreciative is what you're about
That's
to say.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yep. No, I was just going to say they take so much more pride in it when they do buy it with their own money. And it's a simple choice. I mean, parents are going to spend the money anyway to buy their kids shoes and jackets and CDs maybe or toys. But if we could just turn it around and say, okay, you know, here's money, but I need you to be responsible for cleaning the fingerprints off the glass doors every night before you go to bed, and I'll pay you $2 for it. And at the end of the week, they have enough money to go help pay for some of the things that they are getting. It really teaches them a work ethic and the value of money.
Now, in your marketing, I noticed that you mentioned that the principles in your book apply to business as well as to parenting. Could you explain that?
Yeah, I think, Flora, that it is the exact same 10 principles of running a successful organization are the same 10 principles in running a household. And my position is that you, as the parent, are the CEO of your family business.
Mm-hmm.
And you might not think of yourself as a CEO, but you are the CEO of your business. And we can all relate to, if any of us have worked, we worked for a company. That company had a CEO, and that CEO had the responsibility of making sure that one is a financial responsible organization so they could pay the bills, that
mm-hmm.
the people that they employed were healthy so that they could show up and work every day. There were rules, respect, there were repercussions if people did not produce the results. The relationships, the living in the present, having a positive mental attitude, all of those things, companies must have a purpose and a path to get to where they are going. These are the same 10 principles that we use in our family business that we use in running or in raising our children.
Hmm.
So I was trying to make a similar connection that everybody can relate to if they went to work. And I'll give you a quick example is if you went to work and you were never told what was expected of you, but
mm-hmm.
when you didn't do what you were expected, then some boss comes in and yells at you and says, how many times have I told you to pick up the clothes off of your floor and you don't do this and you don't do that? You would fire that boss. You would never be treated that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yet so many parents are not very clear with their expectations of their children. They're very good at yelling at them and telling them what they didn't do right, but they are not clear with what they expect and coaching them along the way, trying to help them be successful like you would expect at work.
Right, right.
Your children are no different. The difference is they can't fire you as a boss. You can fire your boss and quit and leave, but your kids can't. So
right.
treat them like almost like you expect to be treated at work. And that's the similarities, and that's kind of the mindset that I'm trying to get people to understand is that you are the boss. You might
mm-hmm.
not like it, but you really are, and it's your responsibility.
You are,
to
yeah. money. You talk about the three R's in one of your commandments, the three R's, rules, respect, and repercussions. That's exactly what you were just talking about there. And
yes.
So what's important then is to have a clear set of rules in your household so that there's a guideline to go by rather than, as you say, jumping on them with the repercussions after they violated something they didn't know existed or that was not made clear.
Yeah.
Correct?
Unless you enjoy drama or whiny mm. brats who are bratty children who are disrespectful, unless you enjoy that,
mm-hmm.
then if you don't enjoy it, which most people don't, then it's so simple just to unemotionally lay down, these are the rules, these are the expectations, these are the consequences. And you don't need to, you would not accept being yelled at work, but yet you hear so many parents yelling at their children. It
mm-hmm.
does not make sense.
No, no. Yeah, I've heard it in the stores even, and it just makes me shudder as an adult to watch it, much less what's happening with the child. So
right.
that's really scary. Now, you one of your tips. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if you see it publicly, you can imagine how much worse it is privately.
Yes, yes. One of the things you have listed here intrigues me, living in the present. What do you mean by that, and what tips do you give parents for that?
Well, unless you learn to live in the present, I think you're going to have a very difficult time raising the most successful children and yourself. It is hard for any of us to be happy in life if we are always living in the past or hoping that and counting on, as soon as I get this new job and get the money that I deserve, then I'll be happy. As soon as I get married, then I'll be happy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As soon as whatever, then I will be happy is I think a very slippery slope that we need to teach our children and ourselves that says, okay, yesterday was in the past. Stop talking about the past. You were divorced a year and a half ago. You broke up with that boy 6 months ago. It's over. Enjoy today.
Mm-hmm.
And don't wait for tomorrow to enjoy life. Mm-hmm. So the best tip I can give parents who want to teach their children this skill is to do it themselves.
Yes.
But it is so hard for parents to live in the present because we don't have a class like this in school, and mm-hmm. most parents do not teach their children this. Mm-hmm. But it is a very, very powerful tool for overall happiness and, again, success in life.
Mm-hmm. The thing that you are talking about, too, I think ties in to your first two commandments, and that is life's purpose and life's path. And that is, if parents are going to teach children these things, they themselves need to have thought out their purpose and be on a path, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, when you asked earlier in this call what was the most important, I debate always between faith, religion, and spirituality versus life's mm-hmm. purpose and path because mm-hmm. they are so intertwined. I chose life's purpose and path as number one, but chose 10 as the cornerstone. But purpose, without a purpose, every day of getting up, knowing what our purpose is, it leads to uncertainty in a child's life or in our own life where I'm just not happy, I'm just not fulfilled, I'm just going through the motions, and nothing is meaningful as a person who is passionately devoted to their purpose and they are fulfilling their goals and dreams. And what I think people don't seem to understand a lot of times is that there is a difference between the purpose and the paths. The purpose is what I want to accomplish in life, and the paths is how I accomplish it. But so many people think that paths, we talk about in the book, the difference between who you are as a person and the roles that you play. And the roles that you play might be a father, a son, a sibling, a boss, a soccer coach, an architect, you name it. These are all different roles that we play in life. But that is not who we are. That's a role that we play helping us get to where we want to be. And so we try to teach our children that if you want the most self-confidence you can in yourself, you have to separate the roles that you are playing and who you are yourself. Once you begin to understand that, you have less fear in playing these different roles and trying to achieve your purpose.
Okay. And it's so true that we play many roles in our lives as we grow. And each of those we could still be moving toward our purpose, but we have to recognize we will play these roles. Before we go any further, please tell listeners how they can get a hold of your book. I want to make sure that we do that.
Oh, thank you. The 10kidmandmentsbook.com is probably the best way to get there. The 10kidmandmentsbook.com.
And 10 is the number or the spelled out?
The number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Kidmandmentsbook.com. Okay. And so they can go there and be able to learn more about the book, of course, but also purchase the book, correct?
Yes, ma'am. And all of the proceeds, or the majority of the proceeds, I should say, go to single working women. So I had two secretaries early on in my life that were single working moms, and I just felt like they have the most difficult job in the world. They work all day at a paid job, and then they go home and single-handedly try to raise a family. And so the majority of the money goes to single working moms.
That's wonderful, and you're right. That is a terrific job, but a very heavy responsibility, and talk about being able to manage different roles. It's a worthy job, but it's a tough job because you do have, like you say, when you get home from work, you have another job. You're really running a company when you're managing a family, I think.
Yep, you're right.
I want to talk about the love to learn. That's one of my favorite things that I love to learn, and this is one of your kid mandates to teach your children how to love to learn. How do we go about doing that?
Find something that they are interested in and do something together. So learning is not just reading books. I mean, there are so many different ways to learn, whether it is going on a walk or going to the museum or podcasting. I mean, there's just so many different ways. And one of the ways is asking questions and getting engaged with your community and giving back. And but if we need to teach children that not only do they need to do well in school, but they also need to realize that learning does not stop when we get out of school, that that reading does open so many doors for us, and it keeps us from getting bored in life, and it allows so many opportunities. But it's one of those things, Flora, where if we don't love to learn, and if we're close-minded, and we don't ask good questions, and we just talk and tell instead of listen and ask, then it's going to be very difficult to raise children to be different. Don't do it as I say, do as I do. You know, you have to lead by example. So
yes.
It all starts with you again.
So actually the 10 kid mandments starts off being parent mandments because we need to set the example and lead the way in every one of these principles you've just shared, sounds like.
You're right. And when people ask me about the readership, that's who I targeted. Is it starts with parents who want to be happier in life themselves. Because if you're not happy, it's going to be difficult to teach your children. But so it
right.
does, not only is it a self-help book, but it is also a parenting book as well.
Right, right. And as you mentioned, too, it's also one that people who own companies, businesses, can apply these same things to themselves as a boss. And as a boss, you're leading your employees, your staff. But if you want your staff to have, for example, a positive mental attitude, you have to model that by setting that pace right there in the beginning. And all of these things you've shared here, I can immediately see how these apply to business. Well, we're at the end of the show just about today, and I want to remind the listeners to go over to your website. So I'm going to repeat it, the 10kidmandmentsbook.com. Over there you can take a look at, learn more about the book, also purchase it, and remember that part of the proceeds will go to single working moms. Jeff, do you have any closing words you could share with us today?
Well, I'm just very thankful for the opportunity to spend this time with you, Flora. You do an excellent job, and I would encourage all of the parents to take a look at those 10 commandments and prioritize which one of those areas that they think they need the most help with, and then go out there and purposefully try to improve that trait themselves.
Right. That's beautiful. Thank you so very much. Here at the end of today's show, I want to remind listeners that I will be back next week with another show that will enlighten, encourage, and empower you just as today's episode has done. Please share what you've learned with your family, your colleagues, and your children, too, because the recording of this episode will be available here on my radio site on the show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, where you can return at any time, 24/7, to hear it again. Jeff, thank you for being my guest, and thank all my listeners for tuning in. And remember, listeners, if you're ready to write your book and you don't want to delay any longer, be sure to grab a copy of the Home Study Workshop, How to Write a Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, from my website, www.abookin90days.com. Please join me again next Monday, March 22nd, 2011, at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'll be welcoming you to another informative and exciting show. This is Flora Brown. I'm coming to you from Anaheim, California, and I want to urge all of you to have a blessed week. And remember, color your life happy.